You're listening to Latin America in Focus.
Latinoamérica en foco.
América Latina en foco.
A podcast by America Society, Council of the Americas, on politics, economics, and culture in the region.
At this point in Brazil's political climate, one can say we've seen everything. Even the popular show House of Cards said it's tough to compete with the country. This is Luisa Leme for ASCOA Online, and I believe you would agree with me that talking about the most recent corruption accusation or legislation that is stuck in Congress is not helping us much to understand what goes on in the largest economy in Latin America. To really see this puzzle's moving pieces, I sat down with Ricardo Senis, managing partner of Prospectiva Consulting. We talked about the political troubles President Temer faces and what is happening with his economic agenda, but also revealed important opportunities behind Brazil's crisis and the country's upcoming 2018 elections. Ricardo Senis, thank you so much for speaking with the council today. I followed your participation in our panel. Thank you so much for talking to me.
No, it's my pleasure.
Senis, at this point in the year, I have to start our conversation by asking about political crisis, about Lava Jato, and its newest arm, which got the unfortunate nickname of Beefgate. The presidency is now in trouble with the law, we can say, right? And
yes. The
Supreme Court is deciding how to proceed on this formal accusation against President Michel Temer. What would you say would be the scenario in Brazil for the government during this investigation by the Supreme Court?
Well, this investigation, actually is a new factor on the Brazilian scenario. This has changed completely the forecast that we had for Brazil until 1 or 2 months ago. Basically, this accusation must be made by the Attorney General. As we are talking about the presidency, this accusation must go directly to the Supreme Court. And in order to allow the General Attorney to continue with this accusation, the Supreme Court need to ask the Congress, actually the lower house, to approve this accusation and allow the Attorney General to continue the investigation. We need 2/3 of the votes of the lower house in order to approve that. Right now, the projections indicate that the Temer has more than 50% of the Congress. That means that he controls more than 1/3 of the Congress. And in this case, probably the Congress will not allow the General Attorney to continue with the investigation. If the Congress don't approve, this accusation will continue only after the end of the Temer's administration. That means 2019.
A positive scenario, political survival.
Yes,
right? But
it's not that positive, but it's not a disaster.
Exactly, still a big crisis. And you mentioned that for Brazilians, for voters, President Temer has been condemned, right? He's
Definitely.
Already, his approval rating is now at 7%.
That's right.
The lowest for a president in 28 years in the country. But if you call Temer before one of the best politics articulators in Brazil's Congress history. We know that he has always been behind the scenes, even that he wasn't a front runner. His party is very much a coalition party until now. One of the reasons for him to reach the presidency
That's
the
right.
way he did. What would you say can happen with his government proposed reforms?
Well, as you said, I think one of the most important pillars of the Temer's administration is his capacity to manage and to deal with the Congress. And this is basically what he has been doing for the last 20 years. He knows quite well how to manage this, how to deal with this. He has been 3 times the Speaker of the House. That means he really knows how to manage all this stuff related to the Congress. Temer, as you said, has just 7% of approval. But this is normal in presidentialism. Holland in France finished his term with something like 10% or less than 10% support. Right now in Peru, the president of Peru are suffering a very tough fight against the Fujimoristas. And now he has a very low level of approval. So in the presidentialism, this level of approval is not necessarily a problem. The problem in the case of Temer is not just the low level of approval, but also being associated with the traditional corruption scheme of the political parties. So I think this is his scene. The population already made the decision that he's guilty. They are not waiting for the accusations or the formal material proofs indicating that. The population already decide that the Temer and his team, his group, it's part of the old-fashioned politicians in Brazil, and the population doesn't care about the specifics about that. But what I think is important to have in mind is, even though we have this critical situation concerning Temer, he does have an important agenda for macroeconomic and microeconomic. In macroeconomic, he has been implementing a tripod strategy that we call that tripod strategy that has been built in the Fernando Cardoso administration. That is basically a very orthodox approach to macroeconomy. And he managed somehow to really isolate the macroeconomic team from all this political crisis. He's managed somehow to avoid that political crisis affect the decisions of the macroeconomic team. That has been proven to be quite positive for the market, for the foreign investors. And of course, the long term, even the short term, indicates that this strategy has produced good results. The inflation is really going down. Probably we will finish this year with the basic interest rates around 88% or 9%, that for Brazilian standards is very good. We have probably in this year a new cycle of growth, very slowly, but we are expecting to have 0.3 or 0.4% of GDP growth for 2017 and something around 2% of the GDP growth for 2018. So in the macroeconomic sense, we are in a much better position that we were 2 years ago. So this is, I think, important and something that Temers bring for Brazil. The second is the microeconomic agenda. It's a series of reforms, regulatory reforms in different areas, infrastructure, oil and gas, intellectual property. We have a sequence of small changes, but very important changes, in different sectors that are affecting the business environment.
Can you give examples?
Yes, for instance, we reduce the national content obligations for some public purchase or in oil and gas investments. That is quite good. We remove previous agreement from the Anvisa, the Brazilian FDA, related to patents. Until 2 months ago, we need approval of FDA for pharmaceutical goods to be approved as at the patent office. The other is Brazil has applied for OECD very recently. That indicates that Brazil are willing to follow the basic standards of the developed countries in terms of financial organization, of contracts. So all of this agenda that I would call microeconomic agenda is also in place and are moving very slowly, of course, because all this crisis indicates that it's complicated to move on. But anyway, they are moving. So this is, I think, a kind of paradox, because we have a huge political crisis on one hand, but you do have some good news in the economic sense on the other hand. It's not easy to understand how the Brazil can move on even with such a severe crisis, but it's what we have right now.
Yeah, in a way, these reforms, the large reforms, fiscal reforms, they're in the wish list for investors for a long time. They never really passed, right? Not even during Fernando Henrique Cardoso's government years. So how critical are they for the country's economy today? Could you talk about Brazil's economic transformation process beyond breaking news?
Okay. Well, I think some of the reforms has already passed. For instance, we approved a constitutional amendment last October that was basically defining a cap for the public spending for the next 20 years. That means that we will need to accommodate somehow all the public spending below this limit that we defined last year. So this is a huge change. I believe that the labor reform will be approved. We are almost in the end of this legislative process around the labor reforms. Of course, with this political crisis, some delays are expected. It is a long sequence of approval that you need within the lower house and the Senate. We are expecting that in few weeks that the labor reform be approved completely. What I think it's facing a huge problem is pension reform. The pension reform seems not be any more possible to be approved, at least in the original proposal. Right now, the government will split the proposal in different parts and try to move on with different strategies, taking different strategies for different pieces of this legislation.
So an investor is trying to make his decision about injecting money or growing his business or her business in the country and calls you today and says, Ricardo, what should I do? What do you say?
Well, I think would depend on the sector that we are talking about. Some sectors in Brazil, economic sectors in Brazil, are performing quite well, even though we have this economic crisis in place. If we are dealing with sectors that continue to be very active in terms of investing, innovation, or merging acquisition, new business, like IT, like the health sector, pharmaceuticals, hospitals, or in the sector of education service in different levels, the high schools or the universities, the technical education areas, the language courses and programs, all of these areas, or a financial sector. There is a thousand different small startups producing solutions that's really, really impressive. The e-commerce in Brazil is going quite well. All these infrastructure biddings that we have in Brazil, we had in Brazil in the last year, and we continue to have in the next year, is another, I think, quite positive indication that there is room for new investors to come to Brazil and invest in the airport, ports, roads, in energy, in different sectors, biofuel or renewable energy. There are, in this sector, we have huge opportunities, not just because there is a demand in the country, but also because the traditional players of these sectors are now out of the market, majority
They're
of them.
Linked with the Lava Jato.
The Lava Jato, they are somehow out of the market. At least they are not leading the consortiums. Sometimes they are part of the consortiums, but they're not the leader. And the profile of this market has really changed.
There's not just space for new companies, but is there a space for a new way to do business?
Yes, that's right. That's right. Well, basically what we had in Brazil is this major construction company was basically the leader of every single important infrastructure project. Now we have a different approach for this. The investors and the operators sometimes are taking the lead of this projection rather than the construction company. So there is a completely change in the dynamics of this, because when you have an investor as the leader of a consortium, the mindset of this guy is different from having a construction company as the leader of the consortium. You know, the priorities in the business model is different. And I think now it's much more similar that what we have in other countries, and I think it's much more healthy for Brazil.
And you have the government now in a crusade to gather more investors, to invite more people to invest in Brazil and to do business in Brazil. The president traveled to Russia and Norway this month. So is this possible in this political context, what would be the best strategy for Brazil's economic diplomats right now?
Thinking in a trade agenda for Brazil, a new trade agenda for Brazil is critical, is fundamental. I would say that the way that Brazil has been so conservative in terms of not promoting the trade agenda, the trade agreements, trying to protect the domestic market, has been creating a very bad incentives for companies. So I think this agenda is necessary, but I would say that the political crisis has been affecting the capacity of the presidents to really support this agenda. And then even though we know we have been seeing the leaders of the Itamaraty or the Minister of Industry in Brazil saying that they are willing to move in for a more open trade environment, they really don't have right now the capacity to implement that. But at the same time, what we have been seeing is a huge interest from some foreign investors to come to Brazil and to invest in opportunities, not just for the short term, but the medium and long term. The projections for foreign direct investment in Brazil is huge. And we are expecting for this year, 2017, to receive something around $70 billion as a FDI, foreign direct investment. When you take in comparison with other countries, Brazil would be the sixth or the seventh or the eighth country in attraction of attracting FDI. So in the middle of the crisis, economic crisis and political crisis, to have to present this kind of performance in terms of FDI, I think it's something that we should pay attention. Why these people are designed to invest so heavily in Brazil right now? I think there is a perception that in some sectors the opportunities are there, just as a matter of time to recover the capacity of the economy to be in, back to the a better situation. And the costs of the asset, the price of the assets, are quite low. So this, again, can be an opportunity for an investor. In this sense, I think the government has been quite well succeeded in attract this kind of investment.
Mm-hmm. So in a way, it's like it's not that so gloomy like that,
yeah,
right? Like
behind the crisis, we do have some opportunities that I think an analyst that are taking a close view about the Brazilian situation will see a lot of opportunities. And I think part of these investors that are taking this crisis in not as a general picture, but with trying to understand the different pieces that make this mosaic, I think these people are really find quite good opportunities to invest or to do business. And this is, I think, something that we should take as an example.
And something that it's happening next year might really boost this process or might ruin everything, right?
You mean the
the election.
The election. Yes.
Moving on to the election. Everybody's very disappointed. You have a level zero empathy. How will Brazil parties regroup to leave through this next elections? What should happen with traditional characters of the Brazilian elections this coming year? You know, we say that only Marina Silva could beat Lula right now, but you don't believe that Lula is going to succeed so much in the election.
Yes, I'm not sure if Lula will be candidate. I think Lula will, in the very end, decide not to be candidate for presidency, but be candidate for the lower house. He has a lot of incentives to do that, not just for his own interest, but also in terms of trying to help PT, the Labour Party, to build a minimal amount of presidency in the Congress. That means trying to elect representatives in order not to reduce the presence of the party in the Congress so much. So I think he has this in mind with the other leaders of the Labour Party, and in my perception, he will try to do that. But PT will present someone. I think Haddad, the former mayor of São Paulo, may be the name of PT, or even Gleisi Hoffmann, the senator. I would say a new face for the Labour Party for the next election. Marina, you know, Marina is a phenomenon. Rede, her political party, is really small. They performed very badly last election.
Barely could become a party, right?
Yes, it's amazing in an organic sense, the capacity to really operate in the political system. I think she's proving not to be able to represent an alternative. I think she has this recall. It's a positive recall, so that's why in the polls she are there in a good with good numbers. But I think in the process, electoral process, she probably we will start to lose support. From the right wing, we have this Bolsonaro. Jair Bolsonaro is a completely crazy person. He's really crazy. It's not the case. I think it's call him as a extreme right. It's not correct. He's a mixture of Hugo Chavez with some former right wing military people who he basically doesn't have ideas about how to develop Brazil. Any question that the media made for him in the last few months, the answer was a disaster. So he really doesn't have anything to present for Brazil. So right now, he's a kind of represents, you know, the, as you said, the negative evaluation that the population turns to the politicians. I think the feasible candidates are candidates that are well structured in terms of political parties. They will need to have political party structure behind the campaign. They need to access public fund, because in Brazil we are not anymore allowed to fund elections with private companies. So the basically money that will support elections in Brazil will come from a public fund. In order to access this public fund, you need to be part of a political party, because this public fund is divided in proportion of the presence of a political party in the Congress. That means if you come from a small political party, you receive a small amount of money. So basically, the candidates need not just have a large political party, but build a coalition in order to attract money for their campaign. The same apply for the radio and TV national chains that are every candidate in Brazil has the right to access. So a small political party will have just few seconds in this. And finally, as a national election for a presidency and others, for a candidate to be feasible, he need to be present in every single city in Brazil. The three parties that have this is PT, the Labour Party, the PSDB, the party for the former president, Fernando Henrique Cardoso, and also PMDB, the political party of the Temer. So besides this, I think it will be very difficult for an complete outsider to be really competitive in this election.
Mm-hmm. Do you see PMDB running independently this time? Historically, what we've seen is that it sides with one or the other.
I think there is an agreement between the PSDB and PMDB that the PMDB will support Aécio Neves right now, the former president of PSDB, not to be charged for corruption, etc., in exchange for PMDB to support the PSDB candidate in 2018. I think right now the candidate that, in my perception, has more conditions to organize a very competitive electoral campaign is the current governor of São Paulo, Geraldo Alckmin. I think he has not all the resource necessary for this election, but I don't see other candidates in the same position. That's why I understand that Alckmin start in a better position for the... He's a not popular guy, mm-hmm. but he has a lot of assets in favor of him. He has resource for promoting his campaign. So right now, I think we continue to have this kind of candidate as a more feasible rather than the complete outsiders or populists.
From Macron to Trump, We have political outsiders succeeding in elections. Do you think Brazilians would respond to an outsider in the same way?
Well, I think there is room for an outsider, no question, because the mood of the Brazilian society right now is really bad, and they are trying to find someone new, like Joaquim Barbosa, the former president of the Supreme Court, or some guy from the TV business. There is room for that. Will depend on the capacity of the non-outsider to present themselves as a good alternative. But I clearly not think that the likelihood to have an outsider right now is bigger than the likelihood to have someone more moderate, more part of the establishment. The political system in Brazil and the elections in Brazil indicate that the outsiders has been an option for Brazilian people. Just in a very, very, very extreme context. That means when you have, for instance, in Rio de Janeiro last year, when you have a severe political, economic, and social crisis, in this case, I think the outsiders may have a chance to win. As the economy will start to recover a little bit, I think the mood in general will be a little bit better. The reforms that are very unpopular in Brazil, approved or not, but would be out of the agenda, and probably in few months recover a little bit the normality of the political dynamics in Brazil.
Thank you so much for talking to me for an outstanding interview. I appreciate it.
No, it's my pleasure. It's really nice to have the opportunity to discuss in detail the crisis in Brazil and not just the big picture or these, you know, the slogans, etc. So it's my pleasure.
Thanks for listening. For more, visit as-coa.org.